I'm Chris from Nerd Alert News, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your SHIELD debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 127 with a pre-Comic Palooza 2016 interview with NASA scientist Dr. Camille Elaine. This show was recorded on Sunday, June 12th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix. And the general Marvel comic universe.
Because of space!
If you'd like to talk to us about space, the sciences, heck, Marvel comics in general, you can catch us on our website, legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail line for all your great feedback. That's 1-844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. We have a Tumblr page, we have a Facebook page, and we have a Twitter account, all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you want to catch our live Wednesday recordings for our regularly scheduled episode, you can catch us at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. Don't forget, we're part of the GunnaGeek.com network, and there are forums there, which can be found at forums.GunnaGeek.com, or you search for the Tapatalk app and search for GunnaGeek, all one word, no spaces. Two N's in GunnaGeek, by the way. Today on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about our Marvel Collector Core Crate giveaway with Women of Power. We're going to be interviewing Dr. Camille Wardrop Elaine, and we're just going to talk about some great Comic Palooza stuff. So, Lauren, we have this great giveaway. We've been on it for a couple of weeks now. We're talking about the Women of Power Collector Core Crate, and I'm really excited to give this away because it looks really cool.
Yes, and this interview today is especially a good time to talk about it, speaking of women in power. And what you need to do to win this awesome, awesome Marvel crate is tell us what MCU male character that you would like to switch to female and who you would cast. And you need to do this by July 20th.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is taking an MCU character, Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I guess we can talk about the X-Men or some of the other properties that are owned by other studios, but we really want to concentrate on the MCU. So one of the Avengers, maybe Thor.
Yeah, somebody we've seen on screen.
Yes, and we want to take a male character. We want to gender swap that male character to female, kind of like in the comics recently with Thor, went to female Thor. But more importantly, who would you cast in that role as well? So real life actor, actress, whatever the vernacular is that you prefer, and let us know by July 20th, 2016. We will be giving it away on our live podcast that night. So it's going to be really exciting. So as part of the Comic Palooza podcast partnership, we're getting some amazing interviews, and Lauren is taking the brunt of it. She's forced to talk to all these awesome people. It's just a burden, isn't it, Lauren?
Oh, it's a terrible burden. No, it's amazing. This is so cool. I'm seriously so excited about all of this.
Right. It is very exciting. And this is an individual that I have seen on the periphery. I have not actually had the pleasure of meeting. It's Dr. Camille Elaine. She is one of the chief biological human factors research guiders. She's really running some of the research on the International Space Station. And I am really excited about this because of my background. Long-term space flight definitely is in need of research. Trip to Mars, there's a lot of radiation that the human body is going to have to endure. So that is why actually we're on the International Space Station, is if we're actually going to go anywhere in human form beyond the moon, we're going to have to know how the human body actually is going to be affected by that. And she is leading a lot of the research in that area, which is great.
She's also worked for a while on the Orion project, where my husband, he sat in on a bunch of meetings with her. And if you want to hear my husband talking about working on the Orion project, he was on an episode of Gunna Geek way in the past.
Yeah, we're going to have him back on in the future here, because we said we'd check back in on him. So yeah, go to GunnaGeek.com and find all the great information that he did. I forget what episode. I want to say it was like episode 130 or something like that, but don't hold me to that. I will put the correct episode in the show notes. In the meantime, you had the opportunity to do a phone interview with her, and let's just get into that right now, okay?
Okay. Okay, I'm here with Dr. Camille Wardrop Elaine from NASA. And I was wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Trinidad and Tobago and moved to the United States about 31 years ago. I am trained as an engineer, so I have several degrees in aerospace and mechanical engineering, and really have designed and developed, integrated and tested space vehicles, rocket systems for the last 15 years. Well, for 15 years, and then the last 6 years, I have been involved in space microgravity and space science research on the space station.
Oh, wow. What do you find is one of the main issues of working in this field within the budget constraints that you find with the governmental agencies?
Well, it's always a balance. People wonder why we haven't advanced. Why aren't we on Mars yet, for example? Because we've been flying humans in space for 50 years, and why haven't we been able to send humans to Mars? Well, it's always a balance. It's not just about the technology. You know, there are effects of the human body, so it's buying down the risk of how the human body adapts to spaceflight. And then there's the budgetary constraints, and, so there's risk, there's budget, and there's the technology. And you have to balance all of those things in order to be successful in executing any one program. So that's really the challenge.
What's one of the just coolest things, just the, you know, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this, that you've experienced in your time working in the space industry?
Oh my gosh, my whole career is like, I can't believe I'm doing this, because I was one of those kids. I mean, I grew up in this small dot in the Caribbean Sea and dreamt about space even before I knew it. At 5 and 6 years old, I would sit on the trunk of my dad's car and just be fascinated by the night sky. But this was before I knew anything. Like, I had no concept of anything that existed, any space program and all of that, until I was a freshman in college and the Space Shuttle Challenger happened, and that really opened up my mind and my eyes to what there was even something called NASA, and that, you know, you could design and develop space shuttles and all that stuff. And so it, from that moment, it's always been an amazement and a wonderment to me that I've been on the front line of the premier space program in the world, designing human space vehicles, testing them, and now being involved in space science that's like on the cutting edge of research. You know, it's all been a wonderment, really.
You've done a lot of work with advocacy for women and people of color in the STEM fields. You even have a foundation, the Brightest Stars Foundation. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So, yes, I founded that foundation about 9 years ago because I was really concerned about young girls, especially, and young people of color not being in the pipeline of the space industry, not following no one. There was no one coming up behind me. And so I realized the really only way you can get people into, you know, the very highly technical fields like space science and exploration and space engineering is through education. And I was always raised with a value for a quality education. So I founded this organization to educate, empower, and inspire young women around the world to be leaders in science, technology, engineering, and math. And I do that by speaking, inspiring them. I travel a lot around the world, mentoring. I do a lot of one-on-one mentoring from young people all over the world. I'm interested in starting a global scholarship fund for young women in U.S. colleges who are majoring in physics and chemistry and engineering so that they have support to get through that program and into the workforce pipeline, and then ultimately a vision to create science academies for girls in the developing world at the high school level, because that's really where it all stems from.
I just have one more question. It's kind of a light one. What's one piece of media that you think absolutely everyone should give a try, whether it's book, movie, TV show, some music, just something that just impressed you so much?
Oh my gosh. Books, especially for young people. I think reading it's a dying art, I believe. Nobody reads anymore, at least in long form. We all have gotten used to 140 characters or less. So reading, definitely, books opens our minds up to worlds that, you know, we would not ordinarily be exposed to.
Okay, is there one that you've read maybe recently or in the past that you think that you would really like people to check out?
There's one coming out in September that I absolutely encourage everybody to read. It's called Hidden Figures, and it is about the African-American women back in the 1950s who were hired by NASA. They were the first women and women of color to be hired by NASA. They were mathematicians, and they were responsible for literally designing by hand trajectories of the John Glenn missions and the Mercury and Gemini missions. And it was called the Human Computer. They were called Human Computers.
Yes, I've heard of this book. It's about to be a movie.
Yes, the movie is coming out. It premieres December, Christmas Day. So the book comes out in September. The movie comes out Christmas Day. And I am on a crusade to make sure everybody knows about this, because it is a phenomenal story. It is a story we've never seen before, heard before, probably wouldn't ever in the future. And it is one that is going to inspire. It can be a vehicle to inspire young girls to not be afraid of science and engineering and technology and mathematics. And so that is, I'm so beside myself. I can't wait.
Dr. Elaine, it's been incredible talking with you as a woman of color who graduated in the sciences. Thank you so much for being one of our foremothers. And it's been a pleasure. And I hope to see you again at Comic Palooza soon.
I thank you so much for being interested in hearing my voice, and I absolutely look forward to the panel at Comicalooza and to meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. You're definitely getting some women of power there.
Yeah, that was, I can't tell you how much I was looking forward to that interview.
I know, I was looking forward to actually editing the interview. That was awesome. So definitely has some great things going on. Just to double tap what she said, Hidden Figures, it's a movie that's going to be coming out Christmas Day this year. And I have had my eyes on that for a while, really looking forward to seeing really anything about NASA, but specifically that, because I know there was a lot of great contributions that those individuals made during some periods of high advancement in the NASA programs.
Yeah, I remember actually. So there's a program that I've been participating in for years now. It's Ada Lovelace Day. And what it is, it's a day that promotes women in STEM fields. And one of the ways that I participated in it for a long time was by bringing awareness to a woman in STEM fields. I've kind of fallen behind in doing that the past couple of years, but for a while there, like when I was blogging regularly, I would do a blog entry on a person. So I think it was last year or the year before, I was poking around and looking for, okay, who can I write about this year? And I found a Wikipedia entry on the female computers of NASA back in the day. And there was just a little entry about the Black women. And there was a link to a Houston Chronicle article. I'm pretty sure it was the Houston Chronicle, about one of the women who still lives in this area, who I'm pretty sure was Katherine Johnson, who's still alive, by the way. She's 97 years old.
Oh, wow.
And it was an interview with her, and she was talking about her experiences. And I was like, this is amazing. Why don't more people know about this? Cut to a few years later, and this book is getting ready to come out, and the movie's getting ready to come out. And these women are finally getting, you know, the recognition that they deserve for helping, you know, this industry become what it is, helping us get into space. And their contribution absolutely cannot be discounted.
No.
Especially because at the time, by being a woman, you already had that against you. And by being a woman of color, it was even more against you. And these women in an academic field were women of color. And they helped us get to space. And it's a wonderful story and a wonderful, and it needs to be told. And just wow.
Exactly. And then Dr. Elaine herself, coming from a small island in the middle of the ocean, oh, tough life to live there. Oh, but being inspired to go into space or go into the space because of her freshman year of college, which was 1987. I know that because that's when the Challenger incident was. So 86, 87 must have been when she was a freshman. To be inspired by that was absolutely amazing. And then she did touch on the realities of space research as well. Like, the reason why we're not at Mars is because this stuff has to be worked out. She mentioned the big thing, risk. Risk is huge. I mean, you throw all the money at this sort of stuff, and you still need to balance the risk. You take a look at the SpaceX with the Falcon 9 recoveries recently. That was a very risky plan, but they had a development. They had failures, and they had to move ahead with them, just like we had failures in the early space program, just like the Challenger incident itself was a failure, and Columbia as well. And we hopefully are advancing and advancing from there. So risk is a very important part of moving forward. And a big reason why we just haven't been back to the moon since the early 70s. That's just amazing to me. There's only been 12 people. We first got to the moon in 1969. There's only been 12 people that have walked on the moon.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, it's never been done in my lifetime.
I don't know when you were born, but yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
It's certainly never been done in Haley's lifetime. Okay. Let's say that.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, wait, I was born after the shuttle, so
yes. Yeah,
it's never been done in my lifetime.
No, so what happened was the Apollo program ended. We had the Skylab program and some cooperative ventures with Russia, and that was the bridge into the space shuttle program, which was supposed to bridge us into the ISS, which then was supposed to get us back to the moon, and it just hasn't happened yet. So that's how long this whole stuff is taking, and she is a big part of it, which I'm still giddy that you had a chance to talk to her.
Yeah. One thing that I forgot to ask, and it's a minor thing, but where people can find her, she has a Twitter account at Camille Lisa, CamilleLisa. Mm. And I highly recommend following her.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be doing that as soon as we get off here. So just a little reminder, you mentioned your husband, Scott, had been on the Gonna Geek podcast. Gonna Geek, as we're recording this tomorrow, so it'll be in the past. It's kind of funny in the audio production process for podcasts. A lot of times you don't actually record them live. We're not doing this live. So this is kind of funny, me speaking to future SP about what I'm speaking about in the past right now. So this is past SP telling future everybody that the Gonna Geek episode 150 will be recorded, or has been recorded, on Monday, June 13th, and it is going to be a fun time. So make sure you go to GunnaGeek.com and check that out. We've already got some amazing stuff on the list. And of course, by the time this comes out, that will be, at least the live version will be out there. So go check that out again. GunnaGeek.com podcast number 150. days away, Lauren, hours away when this comes out, hours away from the Comic Palooza 2016 convention. I know you're really excited. What's the best thing that you're looking forward to in this year's convention?
I know it's kind of self-absorbed to say, but I'm actually on a couple panels this year.
Awesome.
So yeah. I'm geared up for that.
Yeah, let's talk about the panels. So you're actually moderating one of the panels, correct?
Yeah. So one of our network podcasts, Friend of the Family, well, Strange and Unusual, but our flagship play, Friend of the Family, we are going to be doing a panel on, well, two panels, really, Friday night, Saturday night, on audio plays and the challenges and fun stuff about doing those. So because the two people who are going to be on the panel have not really done conventions before, I'm going to be moderating it to make it as smooth as possible for them.
And it has worked out for the Gunna Geek Network recently this year, as Naki moderated the GunnaGeek.com podcasting panel at C2E2 earlier this year. You have big shoes to fill with Naki. She did an amazing job. I have no doubt that you will do an amazing job. So you're moderating that panel. But also, you have been specifically requested by name to participate in another panel, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to be on, and I think it's Saturday at, I forget the time, and I'm going to have to look it up, the official Comic Palooza podcasting panel. And I'm so excited. It's all these other podcasts that are also part of this program. That is a lot of alliteration. Ming Chen from Comic Book Men is going to be there. A bunch of people talking about podcasting, and it's, oh man, I'm so excited. It's just, wow.
It sounds like it's going to be a way bigger panel than what we did as the network up at C2E2. We had a packed room. Sounds like yours is going to be a bigger room and more packed. So really looking forward to hearing what happens there. Is there any last things that you want to talk about Comic Palooza before the event occurs?
Yeah, so there's actually a really big science track at Comic Palooza. It's not just media, it's not just books and comics. There's also, because we're here in Houston and we have NASA here, there's a huge science presence there. It's not only Dr. Elaine, there's other representatives here from NASA. There's people talking robotics. There's people talking just all sorts of things. So if you have any interest in that, there's something there for you. Oh, and awesome. Having attended a couple of these panels before, I really highly recommend it. It's just fascinating. The people that you'll get to talk to, the things that you'll get to see them discuss. And a lot of the times they're perfectly happy. If you go to their tables, if you go up to them after the panels, they're perfectly happy to talk to you one-on-one because, hey, it turns out scientists are really, really excited about the fields they work in.
They are. They're basically geeks. I mean, they're intensely focused on their areas. They've done a lot of work to get where they are. They've done a lot of research, a lot of reading, a lot of just projects in general, and they just love to discuss. So if you want to know a lot about that, just go to apparently this convention. I know DragonCon, there's a little bit of that as well. They try to intertwine it with the actual IPs that they're referring to. But yeah, this looks great. And one of these days, Lauren, I'm going to have to get down to Comic Palooza. That will be
you
awesome.
Really are. It's generally held on Memorial Day. There was another thing at that same convention center. It was, I think, Apple was having some sort of thing there.
Small company.
Yeah, a little bit. And they reserved it a couple years ago. But generally, it's held on Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
So set that aside in the future and come on down. It's a lot of fun.
All right. I'll look forward to that. So that's about it. We're going to wrap a bow on this and walk this one out. So definitely continue to join us at legendsofshield.com where you'll find all of our great podcasts. We're generally podcasts about the Marvel universe, that's comics, that's the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show or the Marvel Cinematic Universe, anything Marvel comic related we usually do. But in this particular case, make sure you stay tuned to our feed for more great coverage of Comic Palooza 2016. Hey, you can always find us every week as we stream live at www.geeks.live. That's Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. I say 8 p.m. Central so that Lauren knows when to show up.
Yes, I am notoriously bad at converting time changes.
It happens all the time. And heck, even scientists have problems with conversions as we bombed Mars quite a few years ago.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Look it up.
Yes, that's right. You can catch us on our voicemail line, 1-844-THE-BUS-1, 844-843-2871. We have a Twitter account, a Tumblr page, and a Facebook page, all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can find all of our live video recordings at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And don't forget, we have forums, which are pretty active with several individuals. That's forums.GunnaGeek.com. And if you have a mobile device, you can download the Tapatalk app and search for GunnaGeek. All one word, no spaces, and two N's.
I really want to thank the Comicpalooza staff for giving us this wonderful opportunity. The other podcasts in the partnership program, they've also been getting some good interviews. They've been just doing their participation thing, and it's wonderful. If you want to check them out, check out the hashtag CPPodFamily on Twitter or Facebook. And I really, really want to thank Dr. Camille Wardrop-Elaine for taking time out of her incredibly busy day. If you could hear in the background her phone texting going off, because it turns out she's a really busy person, and taking the time to talk with us. And I appreciate it so very, very much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I heard that the day that you gave the interview, the International Space Station kind of ran out of air. So she was a little bit busy. I'm joking. Nothing really happened with the ISS.
No, it's the space station's fine. It's still up there.
Still inhabited. They're all good up there. Okay.
And you can actually, there's some websites and stuff where you can find out where the space station's going to be visible from. And I've actually seen it overhead, and it's amazing. Like, you look up there and it's this little dot of light and you're like, there's people up there.
Yeah. So in college, way back when, that was one of the things that I had to do is I wrote, and I just talked about this on another podcast that I guested on this past week. I wrote a program on Fortran 77 with the cards, took several weeks to do that, threw that into the computer. And actually, it was a perturbation thing, because a lot of people think, hey, space, they just go around in a circle. Not true. First of all, the Earth is more pear-shaped than round-shaped. Yes, it is round-shaped, but the southern hemisphere actually has more mass than the northern hemisphere, so that causes some perturbations, and there's several other perturbations, too.
Do these continents make me look fat?
You caught me by surprise there. That was a good one. And then... And then there are several orders of perturbations. 1 through 7 are the main ones, but they go on and on and on. Just different perturbations for different things. And then actually the satellites themselves, if their mass is big enough, they actually cause some orbital changes in other satellites around them as well. So anyway, it's not just the same place all the time. They actually move their orbits depending on atmospheric drag and stuff like that. So these programs nowadays, they don't have to do cardstock. They don't have to churn for weeks on end to find out where you might be able to see them at any point in time. There are just apps on your phone. So check them out. And the International Space Station has so much surface area on it that it reflects so much light that you can clearly see it even in a robust lighted area like New York City. So mm-hmm. you should go check that out where you can see that. So Lauren, on Tuesday nights, though, if you're interested in Marvel comic issues that we discuss on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where should they go to check you out?
They should go to our Twitter account, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and around 8 p.m. Central, bad with times, I do live tweets of whatever we're going to be discussing that week. In this case, it's going to be season 2, episode 1 of Daredevil.
Oh, that's awesome. So we'll be going over Daredevil season 2 this summer with a lot of great guests from the GunnaGeek.com network. And then if you're interested in Legends of Tomorrow over on the DC Universe, check out our sister podcast on the GunnaGeek network. That is Starling Tribune. And don't forget, we are giving away a Marvel Collector Core crate. This is ours. An anonymous donor gave it to us, and we are giving it away. It is by no means sponsored by Marvel, Pop Funko, or anybody else related to Marvel. And we're just giving away. And don't forget, we need to hear from you at any of the places to get a hold of us, which male MCU character you want to see gender swap to female, and then who you want to cast on that. Get it to us by July 20th, 2016. All right. I think that about wraps it up for this week. It's been a great episode. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye, see you guys next time. And don't forget, Comicpalooza 2016.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.